Good afternoon. Recording live from KMUZ Turner. This is Waste Matters on the Air, the show that talks trash about waste and how to prevent it.
And Jessica Ramey, both waste reduction coordinators with Marion County Environmental Services. So, Alan, what are you doing this Thanksgiving?
Well, I thought we might eat a turkey.
Yes, I've heard that's really popular.
Yeah, I think it is, and we will buy one. We've got one; it's in the freezer, and we will cook it and eat it.
Nice. Well, since it is turkey season and there's lots of food waste, we thought we'd have Ashley Zanulli, the co-lead of EPA's West Coast Climate and Materials Management Forum and co-chair of the Zero Waste Food Forum. And before we say hello to our guest, we thought we could talk about some current events coming up. Possibly you have too many leaves. I know I do in my backyard. You can bring them to the Fall Leaf Hall Saturday, December 6th. From 9 to 2 p.m. It's a free event for Salem, Kaiser, Staten, Silverton, and Woodburn, and it's open to residents. And you can bring in also canned food donations. They accept that as well. Visit mcrecycles.net for drop-off locations.
Well, Jessica, if we're going to talk about this in calendaric order, I'm going to mention an event that's going to be December the 11th at 7 p.m. And the Salem Progressive Film Series will feature a food-themed film called Just Eat It. From the creators of the Clean Bin Project, Just Eat It explores how we in North America somehow manage to throw away nearly 40% of the food we produce. It's very entertaining, and it manages to tell a serious tale with both grace and humor. It's a must-see for lovers of food and waste reduction everywhere. I would give it 5 stars.
Nice. Also, December 19th is the deadline to sign up for the Marion County Master Recycler class. It's actually a program that takes you on tours. You learn about reducing and reusing and recycling. And I took the class in 2012, and it was so much fun. I had amazing classmates, and I highly recommend it. So definitely go into mcrecycles.net on the web, check it out, and sign up.
Well, speaking of deadlines, January 20th, which seems like a long ways off, but it's really not, is the deadline to nominate folks for the upcoming Green Awards. Categories this year include Recycler of the Year, Sustainable Business of the Year, a lot of other of the years. We've got a lot of categories. And if you know somebody or some organization, maybe even your own, that deserves kudos for greenness, then you need to just hightail it on over to www.midvalleygreenawards.org. And make that nomination today. The traditional season of celebrating our cornucopia of good fortune is fast approaching. We were talking about a film that talks about food waste, but we're going to talk with someone today about it in just a minute. But I think it'll be a good opportunity to think about what's coming up, because we're so centered around food preparation and consumptions, but particularly around Thanksgiving. And there's just so much waste. And as a lover of statistics, here's one I pulled out. Okay, here we go. Americans will buy 581 million pounds of turkey meat for Thanksgiving this year, but will trash about a third of it.
Wow.
Now, there's a whole bunch of other figures along those lines about stuff that get wasted, or maybe those turkey figures will be, you know, you can see different ones. But I think you get my point. We chunk a pretty good chunk of food away. We throw it away, and it's costing us in ways that we don't even think about, not just our pocketbooks. So it's because it's such a big deal for a lot of folks that are concerned about this, we're looking into causes and possible solutions to ending food waste right here in the United States, which leads us to our guest today to help make a little bit of sense of all this. We're fortunate enough to have Ms. Ashley Zanulli, who Jessica mentioned is the co-lead of EPA's West Coast Climate Materials Management Forum and co-chair of a community pilot project called Zero Food Waste Forum. She's phoning in from her office high up in Seattle, Washington, to fill us in on what's happening. So are you out there, Ashley?
I'm here, Alan.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're there. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, good and great here. Thanks. Hey, so why don't you just give us a quick overview of what Food Too Good to Waste is, that program you're in charge of?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So with Food Too Good to Waste, we're targeting food waste at home because 1 in 6 Americans lack a secure supply of food. At the same time, consumers are throwing away about a quarter of all food purchased. That's like leaving the grocery store with 4 bags, dropping one in the parking lot and not going back to pick it up. And the retail value of that's about $115 billion, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So while these seemingly conflicting stats sound like they can't be true at the same time, unfortunately they are. So some basics on how it works. Food to Good to Waste is an innovative community food waste prevention tool, and it was designed with the EPA and input from the West Coast Climate and Materials Management Forum, which I co-lead. The toolkit's made up of some simple strategies and tips to help individuals and families prevent wasted food at home, which is particularly important at this time with the holidays. And we created it using community-based social marketing approaches. So this addresses specific behaviors to a desired behavior rather than relying on awareness building alone or simply tossing a flyer into a bag. The toolkit's designed around five key waste prevention behaviors that we identified during research and interviews that started all the way back in late 2010. The first step is to get smart. So by measuring how much food you're throwing away, we found that participants who are doing the Food to Good to Waste challenge can basically measure during the first 2 weeks before implementing the strategies that are part of the program. This step's important because we found that waste aversion, or this psychological reaction that people have to the loss of utility of something. It's why you feel guilty when you throw away a moldy head of broccoli or a slice of cheese. But this was the strongest motivator for people to waste less food, even stronger than cost savings or potential health benefits. The next step in the program is to start using the tools and strategies. So there's five key waste prevention strategies. The first one's to measure, and the other four are around smart shopping, so buying only what you need and making sure you check your pantry and fridge so you see what you have already have on hand before you go to the store. Smart prep, which encourages you to prepare perishable food right after you get home from shopping to make it easier to whip up meals later in the week. In the UK, they found that about a third of all lettuce leaves go in the trash, and that's just sad. The next strategy is around smart storage, which provides information about how to store fruit and vegetables so they stay fresher longer. And the last one's around smart savings. So really common sense stuff, but eat what you buy. And you can be more mindful of ingredients and leftovers that you need to use up by designating an area of your fridge and putting a little eat first prompt and storing those leftovers in clear containers so you're more likely to make the best of them. And the final step after several weeks of using the tools is to, again, measure your food waste and see how much food and money you've saved compared to those first 2 weeks before you began implementing those strategies. And after that, we expect these prevention tactics will really create a lasting awareness and behavior to get people to rethink those automatic behaviors when it comes to wasting food. It's a really unnecessary problem that we can all take action on.
Wow, that's fairly comprehensive. That's a lot of steps there. You guys really thought this through. Now, you started this, what, a couple years ago?
So we started implementing the toolkit with communities in September of 2012, and since then we've done about 18 projects around the U.S. So this isn't just a West Coast thing. We've had successful projects that the state of Rhode Island and Vermont have implemented, Oak Park in Illinois. One of our most successful pilots was in Iowa City. It was actually just featured on NPR's Morning Edition on Monday.
Wow.
And we have a whole host of projects along the West Coast.
Excellent. Okay.
So why is the EPA mostly focusing on food at this point?
That's a great question, Jessica, and Alan mentioned a few of the stats, but food waste is a major problem in this country and all over the world. The Food and Agricultural Organization did a recent study where they found about a third of all food produced globally is uneaten. So every day, Americans waste enough food to fill the Rose Bowl, according to Jonathan Bloom, a friend of mine and author of American Wasteland. So the facts are just striking.
Wow.
We throw away about a third of all the food we grow, harvest, and buy globally. And in the U.S., a family of four can save about $1,600 a year just by making small shifts in how they shop, prepare, and store their food along the lines of the Food to Good to Waste toolkit I mentioned. Some other staggering facts are that we're currently using 25% of the nation's fresh water supply goes towards growing food that actually never gets eaten. And on top of that, it's contributing to about 13% of our national greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow, those are powerful numbers.
Absolutely. Waste has really significant economic impacts as well as negative impacts to our society and the environment. So EPA has been involved for a number of years. In addition to Food to Good to Waste, which is really a tool of EPA's Food Recovery Challenge, which helps businesses and challenges them to change their practices, to purchase leaner, to minimize waste, and divert surplus food away from landfills to feed those that are hungry in our communities. About 50 million Americans in the U.S. don't have enough food for a safe, healthy, and active lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, how does somebody get involved with this? How would somebody find out about this program and take part in it?
So you can find out about the program by visiting our website. EPA is currently in the process of moving the toolkit over to the national website for our Sustainable Materials Management Program. But in the meanwhile, you can visit westcoastclimateforum.com/food. And I encourage all the listeners out there to think about ways you can reduce the amount of wasted food while you're at home or at work through composting, donating safe, untouched food to local food banks, buying only what you need, and planning your menus for the week while using leftovers in some ways that can help feed people and not landfills. So the first thing individuals and families can do is take the Food to Good to Waste Challenge. All that information's on the website, and we know the intervention works. It's just about scaling and replicating it across communities, and we found that it works best when you implement it with your friends and families.
That's great. So I got a question there. You mentioned something about one of the strategies would be to donate food, and I think a lot of people, probably individuals, don't worry about it so much, but I know that there are some. I work with businesses more than I work with the residents, and some of the businesses that generate food waste that could be edible, that still, you know, hasn't come in contact with folks, they have no qualms about donating it to the local shelter. But there's a lot of organizations out there that are reluctant to do it because they're worried about liability. Can you address that?
I'm really glad you brought that up, Alan. There's a lot of misinformation around legal liability. The Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Act was passed under the Clinton administration. It's never been triggered with a lawsuit, and it protects both individuals as well as companies from any legal liability associated with donating wholesome edible food in good faith. Feeding America is a great organization that has been really active in recovering excess food, quality unsold food, and getting that to people in need. And there's some local affiliates out here in the Northwest, like the Oregon Food Bank in Oregon, as well as Food Lifeline in Washington that I work with. So we're doing what we can to get that information out there, because there's a whole lot of opportunity for companies to get that food to people in need.
That's great. Well, so say I want to sign up for the program. I go to the website. Do you offer tools there, or how does somebody get more information from that site?
Absolutely. So all the tools are posted there. We also have some outreach tools, like a message map for local governments that want to implement this on a broader scale. There's a new project that Oregon Metro is going to be starting in the greater Portland metropolitan area, and I've also actually heard a little bit of interest from Marion County, so you may see that rolling out community-wide. And I shared that website, and I encourage you to put that on your website with the recording. The other thing that we have available is the EPA Sustainable Materials Management Program. You can link to our Food Recovery Challenge website, where there's also tools for businesses, and consumers can share those with businesses that they'd like to encourage to take action on their wasted food problem.
So, Ashley, when you were talking about the food waste here, one of the figures that gets bandied around probably most is the 40%, that basically 40% of the waste produced or is introduced into this country gets wasted. Does that sound about right?
It's between about 25 and 40%. 40% is about the upper limit, and that stat's coming from mostly consumption data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service. So the stat is that up to 40% of all the food we grow or produce in the country goes uneaten. I am happy to say that we've almost doubled our recovery rates when it comes to composting. In 2010, we were at about 2.5% of the 34 million tons of food waste that was reaching landfills was getting composted, and now about 5% of that's being recovered. But at the end of the day, there's a tremendous amount of avoidable food waste or food that could have been eaten that's ultimately reaching landfills. And why that's a really big issue is because when it rots in landfills, it produces methane, which is a really potent greenhouse gas, about 25 times as powerful as carbon dioxide. So it's an unnecessary problem, especially when here in Western Washington alone, one in five children don't know where their next meal is coming from.
Yeah. Well, you really hit on something there, because here in Marion County, when the last time we did a waste audit, which was about 5 years ago, it turned out that about 19% of everything that was going in the garbage was food waste that could have been composted or maybe in a better state could have been given away. And it's the number one thing that gets in our trash. So let me ask you, thinking about compost, Seattle has just made it mandatory. They've got a very small fine. I think it's $1 if somebody breaks that rule that's going to be implemented. What do you think of that? Is that, you think that's a good way to go?
Well, I can't speak to that, but what I can tell you is that I compost in my own home, and I've been doing it for years, and it's really easy. And I think the important takeaway is that composting is incredible for feeding our soils. We really need to do that. Our soils are in pretty poor shape around the U.S., but the best thing we can do is compost those in edible food scraps, because preventing food waste in the first place is the most beneficial environmentally, socially, and economically. So beyond the Food Too Good to Waste toolkit I mentioned, where consumers can take action in their own home, and the Food Recovery Challenge, which is for businesses, EPA is also collaborating with the USDA, state and local governments, and NGOs to really broaden the reach of food reduction efforts. And we're doing this by really promoting and spreading the messages around how we can reduce wasted food. We have a food recovery hierarchy shaped like an inverted triangle. Basically encourages you to start off by changing practices for businesses and consumers to generate less waste in the first place. And there's a whole host of tools through the Food Too Good to Waste toolkit, as well as our Food Recovery Challenge to help make that happen. Then the next step is donating excess food to food banks, soup kitchens, and shelters. This is so important in supporting our communities, feeding animals, and then diverting wasted food to industrial uses, like the use of fats, oils, or greases, maybe making biodiesel out of it, and then composting those remaining food scraps so we can feed our soils and get that organic content and nutrients back where it's needed.
That's a great recap. And I just also want to toss this out to the listeners in the Salem-Keizer area to remind you is that we all have a green bin for our yard debris, and you can put all of your food scraps in there now. It's total organic, so it includes dairy, meat, bones, all that stuff. So
napkins,
pizza boxes. So don't hesitate to use it. So,
so I want to know more about the reduction part. You touched briefly about some things that we can implement at home. Say I'm going to go grocery shopping. What is the first step that I should think about when I want to go grocery shopping but reduce my consumption?
Great question, Jessica. So, before you go grocery shopping, and if your eye's out for reducing your consumption by wasting less, I would recommend our shopping list template. So plan with meals in mind. We designed this toolkit originally around some of the highest wasters. Those audiences include families with young children and young full-time workers from about the ages of 18 to 30. Mm. So we developed a really simple template where before you go to the store, think about what you already have on hand. Look in your fridge. If you have your Eat First prompt on a shelf for your perishables that are about to go bad are, look at what's in that bin and make sure that you're making meals with those kinds of items in mind, because out of sight is out of mind in our giant refrigerators, mm-hmm. and that's a big reason why things are going to waste. So inventory what you have on hand, and then think about what you're going to use that week. Are you going to bring in lunch every week? If so, how many salads are you really going to eat? How many bananas are you going to have every morning? So just try to add that up. It's sort of how you plan for your Thanksgiving meal. You know, my Uncle Bob eats a lot, my Aunt Sue maybe not so much. Think about who's coming, how much they're going to consume, and plan with that in mind so you have left over at the end of it. And those leftovers that you do have, you're more likely to make use of later in the week.
No, that's great. I mean, I think back to pioneer times when a household would keep track of what they actually purchased and what we used. And I know my family doesn't keep track of what we purchased and what we use. So that's really interesting.
Hey, I got one other question there, Ashley. We always heard that you should never go shopping if you're hungry. Have you heard that? Is it true?
I have heard that. I haven't seen much research to support that, but anecdotally, I've experienced it firsthand. I tend to make a lot of impulse buys when I do that.
I know some members of my family come home with extra stuff when they're really hungry. So, yes. Okay. So, with the Food Too Good to Waste program, with these different ones that you've completed, so are there those they've been evaluated the results are in, and is there a way to see that data?
So the results are coming in. I'm actually currently working on the evaluation with my lead researcher, Vicky Sontag, who's just been incredible. She's the mastermind behind a lot of this work. And we'll be evaluating about 18 pilot projects that EPA supported with state and local governments around the U.S. Another thing I'd like to mention is that a lot of those local governments collaborated with schools, composting programs, grocery stores, to do outreach in the community. And thus far, we've seen about a 25% reduction in wasted food among participating households, which is really promising. We've also found that in the pilots, particularly in Rhode Island, where they had participating households tease out the avoidable waste, the food that could have been eaten, versus the inedible waste, like bones and peels and cores that nobody's ever really going to eat, there were some households that achieved up to a 65% reduction in wasted food.
Wow, that's amazing.
On top of that, we're currently collaborating with an ecological anthropologist. There are all these new burgeoning interdisciplinary fields. There's even environmental psychologists. So we're partnering with researchers to do a sort of longitudinal study, looking at not only the impacts from these pilot studies, but how has that behavior change lasted over time. So the initial program evaluation we hope to have ready on the West Coast Climate Forum website at the end of January, and then the longer study will start next summer. And just plan on keeping to hear this in the news, because there are a lot of campaigns on the ground that are happening, and some larger NGOs that plan to do a big media campaign that launches next summer. So the momentum's not going to stop.
That's really exciting. So I'm thinking about how to implement these programs. How do you get people to sign up? What's their number one motivation to do it? And have you met any people that are more resistant and now are, you know, jumping on the bandwagon?
That's a great question, Jessica. So how do you get people to sign up? What we've found is that local governments, like my own county here, King County, Washington, where I live, they're in their third iteration of this campaign, and they're doing it at this point at a really broad scale. And they've found that it's been one of the most well-received programs they've ever implemented, because people love talking about food. It touches all of us. It's how we're going to celebrate with our families and give thanks next Thursday. And it's a natural gateway to a broader conversation on sustainability. So getting folks engaged isn't an issue. I think one of the harder things, and really one of the most critical components of the challenge, is around measurement. So you manage what you measure, and even for the folks who know that, wow, food waste is a really problem, I can't believe how my brother doesn't finish his dinner, or my neighbor, oh my gosh, she wastes so much food. Those people, until they measure in their own home, don't even know it's a problem for them. So that's really critical. And on the business front, I think that measurement piece also translates. So through EPA's Food Recovery Challenge, one of the first steps we focus on is conducting a waste assessment. Because once you know what you're wasting, you can really start to see where those opportunities are.
That's great.
So are you seeing that in the restaurant field? Are there a lot of businesses up in those areas that are getting on board with this?
Absolutely. I'm proud to announce that EPA has almost 800 partners and participants in the Food Recovery Challenge, including grocers, restaurants, sports and entertainment venues, the hospitality industry, and they're all working and doing what they can to change food purchasing and production, as well as handling practices. Some of the big sports and entertainment venues that serve food can practice portion control. Colleges and universities are part of the challenge, and they're implementing things like trayless dining practices that have been linked to up to 40% reductions in avoidable food waste, as well as modifying menus to eliminate uneaten food. Like I mentioned, grocers, universities, and stadiums can also divert food from landfills by donating wholesome edible food to those in need and then composting those inedible scraps to feed our soils.
Well, Jessica, we're almost out of time, but Ashley, I wanted to ask you one last question. We mentioned before we're talking about current events that are coming up about the Just Eat It film, and I know that you told me that you'd seen it and you really loved it, and you met the folks that directed it and starred in it. Can you comment on that?
I'd love to. So I met Jen and Grant, the directors of the film, at the first ever Zero Food Waste Forum, which I helped co-chair on behalf of EPA in Berkeley last month, and I highly recommend you watch it. I learned a lot, and you'll even see one of our tools in the film, the Eat First, and that was one of their strategies to help eat down the fridge. The whole premise of the film is that for 6 months, they live off of food that would have otherwise gone to waste. And I think a take-home for all your listeners today is that food waste most of the time isn't waste at all. It's wholesome edible food that should be feeding people instead of landfills.
And you know what? I'd also like to toss out the idea that if people are going to think about seeing that movie, I want you to think about one thing is – ask yourself, if somebody was going to do what they did about just living off of what they were dumpster diving for, do you think you would gain weight or would you lose weight? So we can't give that away, Ashley. So I'm hoping that folks will watch that, because it was pretty amazing to me how that all turned out.
And you're hitting on something really important, Alan, is that where EPA sees wasted resources, U.S. Department of Agriculture and public health agencies see wasted nutrients. And where I see this work moving forward is really aligning those efforts, because we should be feeding people, and there's a lot of nutrients that are currently going into waste as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on the show today and talking about food waste. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you for having me, Jessica and Alan. This has been wonderful. And I would just like to add that there are tons of opportunities for longer, more sustained efforts to reduce food waste and hunger in America. And I'm really proud to be working with EPA and other state and local governments around the U.S. to make that a reality.
And could you give the website address one more time?
Absolutely. So the Food to Good to Waste Toolkit will be migrated over to the national website. But for now, you can access it at westcoastclimateforum.com/food. And then for all of other EPA's tools and some success stories from all the businesses that are doing great work around the U.S. who are also part of EPA's Food Recovery Challenge, you can visit www.epa.gov/SMM for Sustainable Materials Management /food recovery.
Awesome.
Thanks again.
Thank you. So we're wrapping up. Next show is actually going to be Tuesday, December 4th, and we're going to have the guests from Oregon Green Schools come on. It's actually Laurel Bates and Bailey Payne, and hopefully a student as well. So that should be really informative. We'd also love to hear from you. Email us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us or visit us on Facebook at Marion County Environmental Services. We'd love to hear from you, and let's keep the conversation rolling.
Have a good week.